The Truth News Network. Explaining the truth for those weaned on propaganda. From Rio Linda to Singapore, Fredericksburg to Maui, this is TNN,
the Truth News Network.
And class is now in session. Here's your professor, Dan Newman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Truth News Network. You know, I like Fredericksburg, Texas, and I really love Maui. In fact, my brother's in Maui right now. We're here together today discussing how dysfunctional Congress really is. The short answer, folks, it's very dysfunctional. Not in my lifetime before has the U.S. Congress been so slow, so inconsistent, and so unwilling to go about the people's business. There's no doubt part of their job is to oversee the operations of the executive branch of the U.S. government, but that's not their primary responsibility. The Constitution of the United States outlines the responsibilities and duties of Congress. Article 1 offers an overview of congressional power, while Section 8 provides details about each duty. Section 8 includes a total of 14 paragraphs of information about all the duties of Congress, including borrowing money on behalf of the country, regulating commerce, developing a uniform system of laws, even establishing a post office, and declaring war. Wow! That all seems pretty simple, doesn't it? Though those five tasks for the Congress set by the Constitution seem to be simple, we all know there's a lot more to it. But in all fairness, there are 535 elected people who are tasked to work together to complete those five things every year. And those 535 elected folks each have a staff comprised of dozens of workers to make certain everything necessary for the completion of those tasks is taken care of. So why does Congress get so little done? Let's look at congressional actions and look at the second half of the 115th Congress. That was back in 2017. In that most Americans doubt Congress does much of anything, Congressman John Shimkus, who is a Republican in Illinois, argues that the U.S. House of Representatives is getting things done. The congressman on his website published a list of the greatest accomplishments of Congress in 2017. And let's look at them. There's the VA Accountability First Act. It was signed into law. The Forever GI Bill was passed in the House 405-0. The No Sanctuary for Criminals Act passed in the House 228-195. Kate's Law also passed in the House by a 257-167 margin. The National Defense Authorization Act passed in the House 344-81. Protecting Second Amendment Rights was signed into law. Strengthening Career and Technical Education for the 21st Century Act passed by voice vote in the House. FDA User Fee Reauthorization Act was presented to the President for his signature. The Nuclear Waste Legislation was approved 49-4. Drinking Water System Improvement Act was approved unanimously. So for the entire year of 2017, two of those were actually signed into law. Two. Those 10 congressional accomplishments, according to Congressman Shimkus, are the most important accomplishments for Congress of 2017. Obviously, his list includes specific bills that originated in the House, and the U.S. Senate passed some bills too. But it takes both houses to pass bills that find their way to the president's desk to be signed into law. Of those 10, only two were signed into law. None of the others, including any that the U.S. Senate passed, even made it to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue for presidential signature. So, let's look at this year. We just finished the first half of the year, or almost the first half of the year. Let's look at what Congress has done so far this year. Let's start back in January. Well, there's PL 116-1, Government Employee Fair Treatment Act of 2019. That was on January 16th. Then PL 116-2, Chemical Facility Anti-Terrorism Standards Program Extension Act. PL 116-3, Medicaid Extends Act of 2019. PL 16-4, H.R. 430, TANF 10th Extension Act of 2019. Then PL 116-5, Further Additional Continuing Appropriations Act of 2019, then Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2019 in February, National FFA Organizations Federal Charter Amendment Act, February 21st, PL 116-8, Pesticide Registration Improvement Extension Act of 2018, that was on March the 8th, the John D. Dingell Jr. Conservation Management and Recreation Act was passed in the House March 12th of this year, a bill to designate the outstation of the Department of Veterans Affairs in North Ogden, Utah, as the Major Brent Taylor Vet Center outstation, that was passed March 21st. A bill to authorize the honorary appointment of Robert Dole to the grade of colonel in the regular army, April the 6th. A bill to amend Title 38 U.S. Code to clarify the grade and pay of podiatrist of the Department of Veterans Affairs, that was April the 8th. Recognition Achievement in Classified School Employees Act was passed April the 12th. Colorado River Drought Contingency Plan Authorization Act on April the 16th. A bill to change the address of the postal facility designated in honor of Captain Humayun Khan passed on April the 16th. Medicaid Services Investment and Accountability Act of this year, 2019, April the 18th. Target Practice and Marksmanship Training Support Act, May the 10th. To reauthorize the Bulletproof Vest Partnership Grant Program was passed on May the 23rd. And the biggie, the last one of May of 2019, the National Flood Insurance Program Extension Act of 2019. Are you counting all those? 19 laws in 2019. Well, not all are laws because they got to go to the Senate and get passed. But that's the House of Representatives, the People's House. Estimates are that American taxpayers' costs for funding congressional operations were a paltry $4.4 billion in 2009, a decade ago. Current numbers simply are not available. Go figure. I'm sure Congress is not out there advertising how much of your taxpayer dollars they're spending. But using realistic assumptions, it's credible to believe that that number approaches $10 billion annually. Look at what taxpayers received in congressional services and legislative actions for the entirety of 2017 and the first half of this year, 2019. A total between the 2 years, little drum roll, 29 pieces of legislation, plus the one big meaningful one, those tax cuts. Do you feel like we're really getting our money worth? So, I, like you, ask this question, what is Congress doing? You know what? That's a great question. The number one concern among Americans is dramatically and emphatically illegal immigration. Last week, more than 1,000 illegals surged through the U.S. southern border near El Paso, the largest number ever encountered by U.S. Border Control and Protection, with the previous record being set in the month of April, which was 424. This unprecedented invasion spurred President Trump to slap a 5% tariff on goods from Mexico in an effort to get the Mexican government involved to take seriously the problem of undocumented immigrants crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. The mainstream media, predictably, started lamenting on how the price of avocados for American consumers may potentially increase a few cents and completely ignored the $200 billion that American taxpayers pay each year in illegal immigration costs, not to mention the cost of illegal drugs on our youth and the cost to educate and health care on American taxpayers. So let's take a look at these dollars and cents. According to a recent analysis done by Chris Conover, an American Enterprise Institute adjunct scholar, quote, all told, Americans cross-subsidize health care for unauthorized immigrants to the tune of $18.5 billion a year. That's health care. Although current federal policy prohibits federal tax funding of health care to unauthorized immigrants through Medicaid or Obamacare, rough estimates suggest that the nation's 3.9 million uninsured immigrants who are unauthorized likely receive about $4.6 billion in health services paid for by federal taxes $2.8 billion in health services financed by state and local taxpayers, and another $3 billion bankrolled through cost shifting. As an example, higher payments by insured patients to cover hospital and compensated care losses, and roughly $1.5 billion in physicians' charity care. Mr. Conover wrote these in Forbes magazine. Public education of illegal immigrants' kids is also hemorrhaging the American taxpayer, as under federal law, all students are eligible to receive schooling regardless of their immigration status. Public education is where the real big costs come in. Randy Capps, the director for research for U.S. programs at the Nonpartisan Migration Policy Institute, told NBC News this year. He continued, "The amount of taxes that the parents pay on their earnings, that they pay through property taxes, pass through on their rent, it's not going to be as much as is spent on public education for their kids and food stamps for their kids." The Federation for American Immigration Reform, that's FAIR, estimated it cost public schools $59.8 billion to educate the children of illegal immigrants, and almost the entirety of this cost, 99%, is borne by taxpayers at the local and state level through property taxes, according to a 2016 study. At the time, the number of unaccompanied minors crossing the border from Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador were driving increased funding programs for students with limited English proficiency, causing a major drain on school budgets. That was when 118,929 unaccompanied minors were crossing the border during the fiscal year. Already this year, just this year, 44,779 unaccompanied alien minors have crossed the border, and 250,000 family units, according to the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. More people have been apprehended illegally crossing the U.S.-Mexico border this fiscal year than in any year since 2009. Then there's the human cost of the drug crisis. In fiscal year 2018, the U.S. Border Patrol seized 480,000 pounds of drugs, including fentanyl, marijuana, and meth, on the U.S.-Mexico border. In January alone of 2019, Customs saw the largest seizure of fentanyl in the agency's history, seizing nearly $4.6 million, that's 650 pounds or so, of fentanyl and meth from a Mexican national when he attempted to cross the border. One guy, folks, $4.6 million or 650 pounds, one guy. Drug overdoses fueled by opioids killed more than 70,000 people in the U.S. in 2017, with fentanyl overdose deaths doubling each and every year. And just today, we learned that ISIS has been sending English-speaking terrorists to sneak through Mexico to get to the U.S. We have no idea how long that has been happening and how many have crossed into the United States. Can Mexico do more to help us out? Absolutely they can. Mexico needs to do a better job securing its own southern border, which runs only 150 miles across. It also can do a better job cracking down on its domestic terror organizations, both the coyote smuggling young kids across the border and the drug kingpins. Lastly, Mexico could grant asylum to migrants within its own homeland. According to international law, if you leave a country seeking asylum, you are supposed to seek asylum in the first safe country you arrive. Mexico is safe, and the Mexican government can address this. Who has the legal requirement to take care of the flow of immigrants into the U.S.? Are there laws that regulate all types of immigration, including illegal immigration? Why are they not being enforced? If those laws are bad laws, shouldn't they be abolished with new ones replacing them, or shouldn't the bad ones be fixed? The answers to all those questions are singular. The answer? The United States Congress. They alone have to take care of this problem. They alone. It's not Donald Trump. It's not ICE. It's not Customs Border Patrol. It's the United States Congress. Why don't they do it? Why won't they act on illegal immigration? The answer to that question and some more insights after we come back at truthnewsnet.org.
Speaking the truth, the mainstream press will not. Dan Newman, TNN, the Truth News Network.
Hello?
They're lying to you.
Lying? Who is this?
You think you two are happy?
I'm sorry,
You think you're in a good relationship? You're living a lie. You're being deceived. They're fried.
What?
In oil.
What exactly are we talking about here?
You're nuts.
My nuts?
Your nuts. Your precious snack nuts are fried in oil.
Ugh. No one ever told me they were fried. I thought they were a good choice.
You didn't hear it from me. But Fisher oven-roasted nuts are never fried. They're just nuts. Oven-roasted with sea salt. That's it.
Huh. What a nice man.
Fisher oven-roasted nuts. Never fried. Nothing to hide.
Humankind has a problem. Experts estimate 1 in 3 crashes are caused by distracted driving. But nobody listens to the people telling people to stop. What we need is a non-person drivers will actually pay attention to. Introducing Smart Dogs. The first dogs trained to train humans. Smart Dogs will be at their best when you're at your worst. Stopping drivers from liking, selfieing, and whatever this is. These smart dogs are about to be unleashed to keep you from driving dumb.
No, Cedric, no.
So, when will they be available to the public? Never. Smart dogs are not the answer. But Geico has a simple tip. Turn on Do Not Disturb while driving mode.
This message has been brought to you by Geico.
When fake news threatens the fabric of the nation, you have a choice. Dan Newman, TNN,
the Truth News Network.
So why doesn't Congress act on illegal immigration? The simple answer, folks, you may not like hearing this, but it's because they don't want to. For Democrats, illegal immigration assures them of millions of potential voters that are already present in the U.S. Democrats feel certain that whenever they take back the power of the House, Senate, and the White House, they'll be able to pass legislation and get it signed into law to legalize all those illegals. That would give them instant voters, at least a large majority of them. Democrats think that. And they are certain they'll be able to lump those in the same Democrat basket in which they have already relegated African Americans and Hispanics. For Republicans, well, they're in this too, folks. Those in the House and Senate simply don't want to rock the boat. On the most part, their driving purpose is to maintain the balance between Democrats and Republicans. Republicans know it's just a matter of time for the Democrats to take control of the Senate, probably the White House at some time in the future. Republicans want to not make waves now so that when Dems are back in power, the revenge factor will not lead Democrat leadership to strip GOP members of those prestigious committee spots that they currently now have. Remember this. Congressional membership is no longer about money like it was decades ago. We used to think that's where congressional corruption came from. No, no, no. Now, it's all about power. With power, you not only control money, billions of discretionary dollars, but you control everything else. Balance of power is the key. Regarding the border crisis, now the Democrats have come around and dropped their talking point that says there is no crisis at the border, why don't they just pass legislation to take care of the problem, fund the necessary items to underwrite the current issues, stop illegal crossings, and fund the border wall? They can't blame President Trump any longer, no matter how they try, and boy, they try. Remember, he made them this offer last year. All Democrats had to do in the deal Trump offered was fund the $5.7 billion for partial construction of the southern border wall. If they would have done that, His offer included hundreds of millions of dollars in brand new humanitarian money for safety and health of illegal immigrants. It would allow Central American children to apply for USA asylum from their home countries. And it would create a three-year legal status for about 700,000 people now here under the Obama-era DACA program, and an additional 300,000 that are here under humanitarian protections who might otherwise become illegal immigrants very soon. Sounds like a pretty good deal to me, doesn't it? Well, of course, Dems rejected the offer. They didn't want to give Trump a win. That was why it was done. Totally, because they did not want to let this president take credit for anything in reconstructing or revising immigration law. So Trump has watched as the crisis down south has reached epidemic proportions and is taking Mexico on in an effort to force them to stop the Central America flood of immigrants through Mexico to get to the U.S. His plan? Use tariffs on Mexican products that come to the U.S. It sounds reasonable to most, but not to Pelosi and company.
First of all, let's see what they are sending forth and if they do send it forth. Republican leader said they're going to stick with the president on this. I don't know how many of his members go along with that. I think the Senate probably has the votes to override. But we're not talking about override. We haven't seen anything yet except a tweet, and then this statement of the authority under which they would do this. But we haven't seen anything that we would be overruling and then going to the next step. But I think that this is dangerous territory. This is not a way to treat a friend. It's not a way to deal with immigration. It's not a way to meet the humanitarian needs at the border.
Speaking,
yes, sir.
I wanted to get some clarity on your tariff answer. Are you suggesting that the president's threat of tariffs on Mexican imports is just bad policy or illegal by misapplying the law as you understand?
No, I'm just saying it's bad policy. The question is, though, why does the president have that much authority? And that will be questioned. No, I'm just saying that it's wrong. I don't even think it rises to the level of policy. I think it's notion mongering again. And it's really, let's face what it is. It's a distraction from the Mueller report, and it served its purpose, right? Here we are.
Wow. He has nothing in mind except to distract from the Mueller report. He's not really concerned about the travesty at the southern border. That's according to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. So her patent refusal to support the tariffs is sad, but it's not unexpected. But then there's Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. He weighed in on his thoughts of the tariff proposal.
Well, there is not much support in my conference for tariffs, that's for sure. But we appreciate the opportunity. We had an opportunity at lunch to talk to a number of representatives from the White House about this particular strategy. I think I can safely say most of us hope that this Mexican delegation that's come up here and discussed the challenges at the border and what the Mexicans might be able to do to help us more than they have will be fruitful, and that these tariffs will not kick in.
I tell you what, folks, even the Republican leader in the Senate is against tariffs and is probably going to lead those in the Senate to vote against President Trump levying those tariffs on Mexico. Let's just face it, the president cannot win for losing. And here's the rub. President Trump can't do it alone, but Congress can. They could, in a 30-minute session in the House and a 30-minute session in the Senate, pass the necessary legislation to stop all illegal immigration, if not completely, then to a crawl, and give DACA recipients the peace of mind that though their parents brought them here illegally, they have stayed and can stay with government protection while they follow a path to citizenship. But they don't. The ball is in the court of the U.S. Congress. President Trump's options are extremely limited. Many don't like increased tariffs on China and other countries that are already in place, but they're having positive results. Those on Mexico would hurt a bit, no doubt about that, but their results would mean fair trade, which the U.S. has not had with most countries for decades. And if Mexico would simply honor their own immigration walls for their southern border and turn Central Americans away if not immigrating legally, our southern border crisis would subside and maybe even go away. Each American has only one thing to put into this battle. Sadly to say, it's this, folks. A vote. And only one vote per legal American. It would be a good thing, if you haven't already, to find out how your House member and your U.S. Senator feels, has voted, and will vote on any illegal immigration legislation issues if and when one comes to the floor for a vote. Let them know where you stand and make some noise about it. After all, they are allowing and even encouraging illegal immigrants to keep on coming. And they are making Americans who want the flood of illegals to stop feel guilty for wanting the government to simply abide by the law and enforce it. After all of this, do you think there's any possibility that many of those that go to Congress every day are just stupid? I know that's an asinine insinuation, and I would apologize, but you know what? They're either stupid or they just don't care. And that's scary. Either one of them is scary. Thanks for joining us here today discussing this very important topic. We're on top of it. We'll keep you posted as things change, and I'm sure there will be a lot of changes in the illegal immigration process in the upcoming days. You know, we always stay on top of the things that are important to you, and we keep you posted. We'll probably do that tomorrow, if not tomorrow, in the next few days. So stay close to Truth News Network. And don't forget to make sure you don't ever miss a post or you don't ever miss a podcast. Fill in your email address, the bottom right side of the homepage of truthnewsnet.org. You'll get an email every time we put up a new story or podcast, every time, with a link. You click on the link and you go right to the story. We never sell anything. We never ask you for anything. You get no emails from us but that one. We really appreciate you being here with us. Thanks for being on our partner at truthnewsnet.org. So long, everybody.
Read all about it. Hear the truth. TNN.
The Truth News Network.